lead us in worship. She's not here, so we're going to have a little time. We'll mix it up a little bit, and we're going to do something a little bit different. And so if you guys have been coming, you've been going through the book of 1 Kings. We've been through chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. And we're supposed to be going over chapter 4 and 5 tonight. Two things was happening. One is, boy, I sure didn't feel well at all earlier today, and I had a headache that could kill a cow. And then what we did was, at about 45 minutes before I got here, the Lord said, oh yeah, by the way, you're not teaching that. I said, what? And so the Holy Spirit was just saying, no, I want you to go in a different direction. So when he does that, I always have a little bit of like excitement and fear at the same time. Because we're trusting in him that he's leading when he does that. So he put something in my heart and in my mind that goes along with Solomon and with 1 Kings, but also kind of brings in the Christmas message. So we're going to take a minute to pray, and I'm going to ask you guys, I want you to think about, you know, what, you know, some of you have lived a long time. I happened to look at you at that exact second. It could have been anybody. Anyway, some of you short, some of you a long time, and so I just want you to think about one of the neatest, one of the best gifts that you got. Can you think back all the way to your childhood or whatnot? One of the best gifts you got. So let's take a minute, and then I want to talk about that, and then I want to talk about a little bit about Christ's gift to us, and then I want to talk about a little bit about Solomon and what we do with that gift. So let's pray. Father, we just want to say thank you for this time, Lord, and I just can't even believe how, Lord, you just brought us here, Lord. Even so busy, so many things going on, there's so many things weighing down our hearts, pulling for our attention, yet your people have come here seeking you, Lord God, and I thank you for that. Lord, every person that's come here to seek you, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would find you, Lord, as they're seeking you with all their heart, Lord. So I know that you have a message for them, and you want to pour into them. Would you do that tonight, Lord? Would you encourage, exhort, correct, rebuke, whatever you want to do, Lord? Would you do that tonight to your people? I know you have a plan, and I know you have a message. So please, we're asking in Jesus' name that your will be done, that your message would unfold, it wouldn't derail or go into any rabbit trails, Lord, that you would just get your message out that you want tonight, Lord God, at this time. We love you and bless you. We ask that you speak to your people in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 All right. So now I've got a couple of answers, but I'm going to give you a physical answer. So one of the coolest gifts I ever got for me was besides the Lord, I'll go into that later, but was a green machine. Has anyone ever heard of a green machine? Raise your hand. Are they still around?
What are they?
They got motors now.
Okay. A green machine was like when I was young, we had big wheel races up in Chicago. And a green machine was like, you know, like getting a Harley chopper or something. It was the really cool big wheel with the elongated. It was the cool. And I used to love that thing. So when we got that, it was like the freshest on the block. You know, everybody had their big wheels.
You had the skid brake, too.
I had the, oh, yeah, dude. That was on my big wheel. Yeah. The green machine, that was
so cool. Green. What do you do? How do you power it?
It's still like a big wheel, but it looked more like a chopper or something. Big wheels.
You go like this, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, okay, one of your best gifts. Who wants to share? Yes, one of your best gifts you ever got. Christmas gifts you ever got.
When I was a kid, my grandfather would, we would go to their house for Christmas Eve, and we would always play bingo. And when my grandfather passed away, my younger brother got the bingo game set. And he's very strict about when we can play and everything. And he's my younger brother who's like, if I say it's yes, he says it's no. You know, we're complete opposites. But a couple of years ago, he surprised us coming in for Christmas, and he brought the bingo game with him.
Aww.
And it was a surprise for me. Wow. So that was, you know, it's spending time, it's, you know, family,
yes,
tradition kind of stuff, and
yes,
that was one of my best Christmas presents. It was surprising.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Good answer. Who else wants to share? Yes.
We got
you say you had you got your foster kitten at the table, you meant as a pet, right?
Not
as a... Okay, got it. Okay. And what was your foster kitten's name?
Sophia.
Oh, we should tell
Sophia.
Well,
we call her
Fifi. Little Fifi. Good. Okay, good answer. Yes, Miguel.
My wife made for me a coupon book. It had maybe 40 coupons on it. And it was anything for my favorite dinner, my favorite dessert.
Yes.
4 hours of peace and quiet if I wanted to watch a race on Sunday.
That's cool.
But there was 3 or 4 of them in there that were good, and there was no expiration date on these. That if there was an argument between us, I was to get the coupon. Argument was over and done. And I still have those coupons.
I buy them off you.
That is great. I love it.
But it was great. And several years later, one of the boys made one. But just the time that went into it and the heart that went into it, it was the meanest Christmas gift that was ever given. And it didn't cost.
Yes.
But it was the four. Just those four were worth. Who knows how much?
Yes.
But that's pretty great that you've never had to use it.
I have not had to use it.
See, you just got half the men in here in big trouble with that. Okay, so that's great. You didn't have to use it. You see, we'll have to go. Okay, Kevin. Go ahead, then.
Mine was my favorite was my Barbie dream house.
Big,
huge. Not the little ones now.
But the big one.
I was so upset when my mother got rid of it.
Even as an adult.
Vintage. It's vintage now. Oh, yeah. Now it's so...
It's like
$1 million
bucks.
And I can tell you, I have to say, I know Mary Foreman's favorite Christmas gift would be Anthony's picture.
It was frozen.
It got frozen.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, I just have to say, she's not here, but I would announce that. I'm sure that's her favorite.
Yes. Whose wouldn't it be? That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'll tell you who's Elijah. He kept trying to get her.
Well, that I can understand. You can't
get it fast enough.
Right.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
He doesn't appreciate the value.
Right.
No, I just think a cookie pelt's worth the time.
Yeah. All right, good, good. What else? Yes, Jen.
I've gotten lots of, a few expensive gifts in my past, but I always share for people, you know, that are looking for a gift to get somebody, you know, they're really, you know, asking, what can I do to give them? I explain, you know, I've gotten these expensive jewelry and, you know, whatever. But the gift that has meant the most to me was one that had heart behind it. It cost them a quarter. It was a little monkey out of a gumball machine, but I loved monkeys, and it meant so much to me that they remembered that was something that was special to me and took the time to do that for me.
That's awesome. And you never know. It could have cost them, like, 500 quarters. You know, that's stupid monkey!
Who knows?
That's awesome.
It was special. You know, anything from the heart.
That's beautiful. Good. Elijah.
I don't really know which gift you gave me was the best. I just know that you being so kind and helpful and nice to me is one of the biggest gifts.
So what it was probably like a
pressure. Oh, Elijah is amazing.
Pressure's on you this year.
The good boy.
The nice lips, not the naughty lips.
That's right. Good, yes. That's good. Good gift.
This is going to sound strange, y'all, but I don't know if anybody knows about the Hiss trucks.
Oh, yeah!
When I was a little girl, I loved the Hiss trucks. Every year we got one.
A collectible.
A new one. Maybe every year.
Yeah.
We would wear them out.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we were girls, but we played with those trucks. Because we got one every year, y'all. They were so cool. I mean, they even have them now.
I love my
Hiss truck.
Well, you're from Georgia. There's nothing but shopping and stuffies for Christmas.
Christmas. Our daughter came from Korea a month before Christmas, and she was just teeny tiny, but she was our best Christmas present.
Gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. Kidding.
Good. Yes.
My first, I was grateful for my first air
sometime. Oh, yeah. That's fine. That's
good. Good,
Jack.
My favorite thing as a kid was a
Red
Ryder BB gun.
Nice.
We used to have BB gun battles.
BB guns hurt. Yeah, you know,
I know.
You didn't shoot somebody's eye out, did you?
Yeah, just shooting some eyes, but then we had a great time. We used to do some dumb things too, bottle rocket fights, if you really know.
That was a blast, though.
Yeah.
With our clothes on and shield, that was a blast.
Yeah, we used to use shields. Yes, Rebecca.
The gift I got when I was 16. My brother Tam was going shopping with my brother Ben and his wife at the time, and I guess they had picked out this throw for me with, like, it's like a cowboy scene on horses, and she's like, see, Rebecca likes horses. And Tam's like, no, she doesn't like cowboys and horses, she just likes horses. I'm like, good. So, like, the one I got is, like, a herd of horses, and I love it. It's so beautiful, and the fact that he, like, knew me well enough to know that that's the one I would want, that goes awesome to me.
That's great.
I liked all the gifts you gave.
Okay, I got you.
Probably the best gift was the air hockey table.
That's a guy. I mean, I like it.
Okay, it was probably the air hockey table. We had hours and hours and hours of fun playing together.
It was fun playing together, wasn't it? Yeah, that was good. Action Jackson.
Well, one time for Christmas, my sister handmade me an Atlanta Falcons pillow, and so she obviously knows me better than no one. But anyway, I still use that thing to this day. It's all beaten up and torn up, but I still use it. Yes. And also, she made me a Georgia Tech blanket one time, so she also knows me there, too.
We won't hold that against her. That's great, man. That's good. Okay, who else? Who has it going that would like to share their best? Yes, hi.
I was probably about 9 years old, and I got a monkey bar set from my dad and my brother, who were over in North Australia in Papua New Guinea, and there was no Walmart, so you had nowhere to, if you wanted Christmas presents, you made them.
Wow, and he made you a monkey bar set? And pop on your day.
And I spent so much time on that.
That's awesome. That's neat. You know, and I'm going to revise my answer now after all you guys. Okay, so yes, the green machine was, that's probably up there. But you know, there was a time when my wife made me a calendar, actually, and it was a calendar of pictures of myself or the family, like a Superman with my face cut into the spot, you know, a super dad or something like that, or you know, the kids, us all being together, and you'd have some fun. So every month, you know what I mean, there's a different picture of the family and the kids. I just thought that was really beautiful. So after listening to all that, and that came to mind, and so I was like, oh, that's right.
Good.
Joel was saying one of his favorite Christmas gift, other than the Lord, he said, was just, you know, having me as a pastor. I couldn't believe he said that. Joel, don't touch him. That's because he didn't say that, but it would have been nice.
Yeah.
But, okay, good. Anything else? Anybody else?
I can say my best Christmas present was a pair of roller skates.
Roller skates?
I was like 10 years
old. The metal ones?
They were brick skates.
The nice ones. Okay.
Brick roller skates.
Okay.
And so I loved them. My mother and father bought them for me with a case that went with them, a metal case, and the skirt. The whole thing.
And you can do the backwards skating? Can you do the backwards skate?
No.
Never could do that either. How about the crossover? Could never do that either.
I don't think so. I wasn't a great roller skater, but I loved to roller skate, and I was sitting there, and that fall on my own skates was really
that cool. Was something.
So that was the best fit and acting thing.
I'll always remember it.
You know, if you can remember at my age, way back to a gift you got when you were 10, you know that
that meant something.
That meant it had to be the best gift.
Yeah, those are good. You know, and before we go, is there anybody else who wants to share? One once? Kayla, Joel? Yeah. Okay. If you guys want to go, I don't want to. You don't have to. Just
I can't really think. The only thing that comes to mind as a kid, it was an old 8-track player. It was a square box.
Yeah.
You know, a square box with a speaker and 8-track set to the side. You know, the kid, you just walk around being all cool, put this up
there. Oh, yeah. You're the man.
8-track crowd was in, you know. But my wife did remind me, too, last Christmas when I won my American team.
Oh, yeah.
Drawing, right. I won that drawing.
Winning
so,
it was the best.
So that's right. That is. Yeah. Joel, did your hand go off? You want to go twice? Yeah. Well, I think so. I just can't. Safe travels from me. Jen usually takes attendance. We've got a little checklist. Make sure we'll mark it. It's okay.
We'll excuse you.
We'll excuse you, absolutely.
What about Uncle Tom?
Uh-oh. I heard my name.
Yeah, Uncle Tom, what about you?
What? I've been working with Ms. Rebecca, so what is the question?
What do you find most beautiful about your wife? No, it's not. It was what gift?
Oh, you don't have enough time in the...
That's probably right.
Oh, I was saved on that one.
Your best gift, Christmas gift that you ever...
You remember.
That you remember as a kid.
As a kid?
Or no, just say your best Christmas gift.
Ever.
Well, I know this is going to sound weird.
Oh, yeah, you from this group?
No, it'd probably be right on. We, our first anniversary, we had the most terrible fight, and I walked out. And it wasn't for about 3 or 4 hours later that I came back and I listened to a teaching on loving your wife and submitting to your husband. And we both sat down and listened to that. And we both, at that point, our whole marriage changed. But it was on Christmas morning.
Wow.
So it was the word of God that changed my heart. And she responded to it.
Thank you, Lord. You know, when I hear all these stories, you know, that's a beautiful segue, you know, into just what we're going to talk about too. Because, you know, when I hear what you guys were saying, the gift that meant the most was the ones that were personal, that was meaningful. And, you know, when I think about, you know, the gifts, of course, the best gift, I think, even above anything that was said here today, for those of you who have given your life over to Jesus, let's be honest. And right now, the best gift you've ever gotten, would you not say, hands down, my hand up, is for Jesus Christ? Would you not say that? If you know Jesus, you know there's no more personal, there's no more thoughtful, there's no more giving gift than you could ever have received than for God to give his only begotten Son for you, that whoever would believe in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. That means that he gave that gift for a sinner like me. for a dog, for a pig, for a jerk, for a people who led people away from him. You know what I'm saying? Yes, and Michael's going like this. Yes, you can keep going. And I can. And some of you can too. But that he loved me that much. And he loved you that much. You see, God wants so much more than us getting more knowledge of him. Okay? Knowledge is important. Okay? So I'm not discounting it. The Bible talks all about knowledge. Wisdom is important. And wisdom is how you apply knowledge. Right? God, what did God give Saul, with those of you guys who have been with us?
Wisdom.
He gave him the gift of wisdom. So here's all the knowledge. And, you know, I've known a bunch of smart people. And when it comes to certain areas, boy, they sure are dumb. They might have the book smarts, but how to apply it, they're just dumb. But Solomon had the knowledge and the understanding, the wisdom on how to apply that, like no one else that ever lived before or after, other than Jesus Christ. So think about that. Think of the smartest guy that you've ever met or you've ever even heard about right now. You know, and yet Solomon's wisdom would cause that other guy just to shrink into nothingness. God had gifted him with that wisdom. Right? And what I see in the scripture, I want to take just a few minutes to go over it. And what kind of hurts my heart is when I see gifts squandered. Now, imagine how your dad would have felt after he's probably spent so much time making those monkey bars, and it was like, whatever. It would break his heart. Or maybe, you know, I'm thinking of, you know, with your daughter. You know, listen, when I think of heartbreaks in the Bible, in gifts, you know, I used to think Samson. You guys remember the story of Samson, right? He was gifted with strength, right? And but he started getting the wandering eye, you know, after pagan women, and kind of started running after them, and was seduced into giving up his strength for the Lord, and eventually he was mocked and they gouged his eyes out and terrible things like that. Yet God had given him all this power and strength. And he squandered it as a gift. And I used to think, until the very end, right? You remember what happens? He came back at the end. God just gave it to me one last time. You know, but most of his life, he had this beautiful gift and wasted it. But then I think, oh man, actually in the Old Testament, it's not Samson that wasted the gift the most. It was our friend Solomon. Here he has all the knowledge, all the wisdom, all the understanding being gifted to him by the creator of the universe, and yet he did things that were not wise, right? You guys know the story. He was led astray by pagan women. He was, you know, in fact, I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes. We don't have time, obviously, to go through the whole book, but we're going to skip it. So I'll give you a minute.
I always have trouble finding that. What are the other things?
It's in the Bible.
Where?
It's in the Old Testament. It's in the Old Testament.
Old Testament.
And it's right by Proverbs or Song of Solomon, somewhere around there.
Oh, here, I got it.
Yeah, right after Proverbs, actually. And right before Song of Solomon. And here you're going to get to read. Well, we're going to start in chapter 1. I'm just going to zip through. Because here we have a guy who, right now, is not walking with the Lord. He started off strong, right? Walking with God. And you know what? there has never been a time where him or his people or the country of Israel were blessed more than they were during Solomon's reign. I mean, financially and this, I mean, God, they had peace on every side. It was amazing. It was a time of prosperity for everyone. And you'll read about it next time we get together to go over Kings, how everybody was under their own, you know, palm tree. And it's just a way of saying that everyone had peace and prosperity on every side. And yet, because he let his heart go, he squandered the gift God gave him. He ended up in the tank. In fact, caused all of Israel to sin. Because after his death, the nation was divided. His son, I mean, it was a terrible thing. They set up idols to worship. And so right now, we have the wisest man in the world. I want you to read. I'm just going to have you read a little bit. We're going to jump around a little bit. Because here's what I've learned from Solomon. Okay, God has given you a gift. He has. First off, he's given you the gift of salvation. He's given you the gift of his son. Now, he didn't have to do that, but he wanted to do that. And he wanted to do that for a reason, Chris. He wanted to do that to rescue you, not only from the pit of hell, but from the pit of living this life in that way. That's his goal. Because living your life apart from the Lord will be pleasurable for a short season, but in the end is the hopeless, most miserable, empty life you will ever live. And you can squander that gift of salvation if you reject him. Not only that, but he's given you the gift of the Holy Spirit. God not only wants to be, he's so close to you. He wants that gift to be so personal. He's like, I'm going to give you myself. I'm going to give you peace. The Holy Spirit, I want to be in you. Not just with you, in you. And then I'm going to give you more gifts that the Holy Spirit's going to determine for you to use. To splash out on other people. That you're going to be a light in a dark world, that you're going to be living water to folks who are dying of thirst. You, God's going to use you to, I'm going to use you to reach those people for me. He's given you gifts, but you can squander it. I can squander the gifts he's given and waste them. And I want to show you what that's like. Well, if God will just do this for me, God has done it all. Don't miss, it's not here. It's not the main thing. It's here. We all have to remember and use a lot of God's gifts. Right now, Solomon's writing about it, and I want you just to see the life of the wisest man who squandered the gift. Okay? He has the wisdom. I just want you to see what happens when you squander the gifts that God gives you. Okay? Again, richest man, whoever, you're going to see. Here we go. All right? So, we're going to kind of go around the room. And I'm just going to call out different chapters and verses. And I'm going to ask you to read them. Does that sound good?
Okay.
So, you got to follow along. And if you don't want to read, just say, skip. And we'll skip to my darling.
Well, I started with one here. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Now, politically, think of this. Let me read it.
Okay.
The heart of the wise inclines to the right, but the heart of the fool to the left. Well, doesn't that tell you something about today's politics?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes, it does. That's good.
Right there it is.
All right. You go. All right. So, Wendy, Joe, and Chris, you want to start us? I just want you to read a couple of verses. How about, like, let's say the first three verses in chapter 1. We're going to skip around, so, all right? Somebody want to read Wendy, Joe, or Chris? Why don't you guys start us?
I'll do it.
Okay, nice and loud now.
The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, said the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun?
Now, real quickly, here's the king of Solomon, right? And what is he saying? Life is under the everything which a man labors under the what? Under the S-U-N, right? You see, everything under the S-U-N has been done. That's why you have all these rich folks, all these, you have popular folks, you have TV persons, they're killing themselves. They're ODing, they're shooting themselves. I mean, you think they have it all. This one has popularity, this one has money, this one has fame, this one has power, and it's never enough. Because it's under the S-U-N instead of the S-O-N. That's the difference. You will never be satisfied under the S-U-N. But you can be abundantly satisfied even in the bad times under the S-O-N. All right, let's jump down. Let's say to verse 12. All right, Chris, I want you just to read until I say stop.
I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. This burdensome task God has given to the sons of man by which they might be exercised. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind.
Yeah, you know what? It's almost like, if you remember being a kid, my kids used to love this. We had this little bubble machine.
I still love bubble machines.
They're so great. So yeah, we have the ones where, you know, for us old schoolers, you had that little stick, remember? And you put it in the plate, you know, you blow it in the bubble. Okay, but now they have got these electronic ones where you dump the stuff in there, and it's, and all, I just remember all my little kids at different ages, and some of the big kids, I'll tell you. But going after these, and they would run after, you know, the soap bubbles. I gotta get it, and then I remember, and there'd be nothing there. That's what Solomon's saying. Everything I'm doing under the S-U-N is meaningless. It's a chasing after the. It's chasing after the wind. It's like soap bubbles. My little kids will grab it, but there's nothing really there. It's like eating cotton candy. You know, you get that big thing at the carnival, you know, and it's a huge fluffy thing on a stick. Oh, can I have some? Yeah, you get this big thing, right? You know, you put it in your mouth. It dissolves into nothing. You're like, where is it? It's nothing there. That's all that it is. Unless you are under the S-O-N, that's what it is. It's meaningless. It's chasing after the wind. Yes?
It's like a mirage. You chase it thinking it's something that would help you through the desert, but really it's just the same old same.
That's a great illustration. I'm going to remember that for the future. Because yes, you're running after that. Wow, there it is! No. Oh wait, there it is up there! And this is exactly what he's doing. Now listen to this. I don't know if you've noticed the focus here. When you're focused, when you're under the S-U-N, you know where the focus is on? Me. If you've noticed him, I underline, I don't know if you do this, but in verse 12, I. Verse 13, I. Verse 14, I. That's what is meaningless. So you make it about yourself. Your whole life's purposeless. It's meaningless. But if you make it about the Lord, well, then it's all meaningful. Listen to verse 16. Deb, do you mind, verse 16, just listen. You see him focus on himself or on the Lord, okay? See if you hear the focus here. Go ahead.
I thought to myself, look, I have grown and increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom also madness and folly. But I learned that this too is a chasing after the wind.
That's right. Soap bubbles, soap bubbles. Do you mind reading verse 18 for us?
For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more peace.
Yeah. If it's not being used for the Lord, any wisdom that He's given you, it's just going to come up. You're going to come up empty handed. You're going to come up with more grief. Now listen to this. Now he's going to try other things. He's going to be a botanist. He's going to be a zoologist. He's learning everything. Glory, would you mind reading, just starting in chapter 2, verse 1? Just again, listen to the eyes here. Even what he's doing, but listen to the focus. It's not on God. It's on I.
So I said to myself, come on, let's try pleasure. Let's look for the good things in life. But I found that this too was meaningless. So I said, laughter is silly. What good does it do to seek pleasure? After much thought, I decided to cheer myself with wine. And while still seeking wisdom, I clutched at foolishness. In this way, I try to experience the only happiness most people find during this brief life of this world. I also try to find meaning by building huge homes for myself and by planting beautiful vineyards. I made gardens and parks, filling them with all kinds of fruit trees. I built reservoirs to collect the water to irrigate my flourishing groves. I bought slaves, both men and women, and others were born into my household. I also owned large herds of flocks, more than any of the kings who had lived in Jerusalem before me. I collected great sums of silver and gold, the treasures of many kings and providences. I hired wonderful singers, both men and women, and had many beautiful concubines. I had everything a man could desire. So I became greater than all who had lived in Jerusalem before me, and my wisdom never failed me.
Okay, stop right there. So, man, this is a guy who can say that they've built big... Yeah, but this is... He's irrigating... He's done everything. And look, Jack, do you mind reading a couple verses for us?
We're in chapter 9.
Chapter 2. Yes, sir. Chapter 2.
Okay, I hang up there.
That's okay. I'll just have you read two verses. Read 10 and 11.
10 and 11.
Yes.
I deny myself nothing my eyes desire. I refuse my heart no pleasure.
Okay, now jump down to 11 real quick. Yeah, now do 11.
Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun.
That's right. And that's basically what it is. Listen, I want you to think, who can say this? Who can say, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired? I refused my heart no pleasure. I was reading I love news stations, and I was reading, it was a story about a guy I think he was in the UK, where the bank accidentally, Sovereign Bank, I think it was, that's interesting, accidentally put millions of dollars into his account. So, as any young man who doesn't know the S-O-N, you know what he did? He spent it. He traveled the world, bought boats. It says right out there, parties and prostitutes. I mean, he spent it all. Well, you know what? So here he is, and now he's having to pay the piper, so to speak. That's right. So now, eventually, after he's done all this stuff and they're repossessing everything and now he's facing prison. You know what I'm saying? They ask him at the end, and he's like, "Never had a great time." He's got pictures all over. Was it worth it? He's like, I can honestly say, no, it really wasn't worth it. I wasted. You know what I mean? And it's the same thing here. And look, so here's this guy who denied his heart no pleasure. I denied myself nothing. Now imagine every sinful thought you just let it out, bring it. And look what it gives them. Jump down in chapter 2 to verse 17, chapter 2, 17 and 18. Verses 17 and 18. Would you read that, Elijah? Here's what, after he's denied himself nothing, here's what it says.
So I hated life, because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless. And chasing after the wind, I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must lead them to the one who comes after me.
Yes, so basically, he's like, not only I hated life, and I hated all things. And that's what's going to happen if you live a self-centered, self-focused life. If it's all about you, you've missed the whole point of the gospel. You've missed the whole point of this life. And that's what he's done here.
Now, is this Solomon speaking in his later years?
Seeing
all this now, that all this, these mistakes
that
he made.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think that goes with age.
Yes.
You look back on them.
You know what? But here's the good news. The fact is, you can look back. Not some people are older, and I don't know if you've met any folks like this. Like, I've got friends that, honestly, they're in their 50s now, and they're still acting like we did when we were 18 years old. They're still toiling under the S-U-N instead of the S-O-N. And their whole life, I hate to say it, I love them, is meaningless. So thank God, though, that like Solomon, you're going to see he's looking back saying, oh man, realizing it. And thank God you can realize that, and some of you can maybe realize that. That's showing God is working in your life. It goes on to say, listen to this, Hezekiah, chapter...
Well, but I think when you get older, I think you start thinking, hey, I better get my act together if I'm going to heaven.
Yeah.
I think that's what he was saying here.
I think he was realizing, yes, but I guess I agree with you, but I guess what I'm saying is not everybody does that, Jim. A lot of people are still selfish and self-centered and self-focused. And they're just old and selfish and self-centered.
They're not Christians.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So thank God, if you are feeling that way or like Solomon here, that's actually a good thing. So I agree. And this is why. Listen, guys. Chapter 3, verse 11. Hezekiah, would you read that one? Because everything under the S of Hezekiah is meaningless. Chapter 3, verse 11. If you don't have this underlined in your Bible, I would do it.
Okay. He has made everything appropriate in its time. He has also set eternity in their heart. Yet, so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end.
What my translation says, he has set eternity in the hearts of men. You know, in Romans 1:18, the heavens declare the glory of God. He's put that cry out for something more. Even before you became a Christian and gave your life to Jesus, didn't your heart scream out, there's something more? There's got to be something more, right? Do we all just die? He set that eternity. You know there's something more. You might not be able to understand it, but you're searching for it.
12 is interesting too. You know, number 12, I know that there's nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live. That everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all he's told. This is the gift of God.
But you know what? But here's the thing. But he does know. But remember, this is a guy who's looking, saying, he's struggling through some of his own thoughts and going back saying, he's not saying that, hey, it's great for everybody to eat and drink and be merry. You know what I mean? You know, he's saying, and he's put this eternity, and so he's realizing that, man, I'm struggling with all this stuff. Like, jump down to verse 17. Sarah, did you mind reading chapter 3, verse 17? As he's realizing, I'm put eternity in the hearts of all men. And actually, verse 15 says, God will call the past into account. There's going to be a day of reckoning. What does verse 17 say?
I thought in my heart, God will bring judgment both for righteousness and wickedness. For there will be a time for every activity, a time for every deed.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
You know, and I... All right. And some people will say, hey, money or goods or whatever. If I just had that, you ever heard that he who has the most toys wins? You know, a lot of people will steal. You know what I mean? Now, they might not call it stealing. So some people will just go out and steal. Well, who do they call? Who does the Bible call a thief?
A liar.
Yeah, who does the Bible call?
Satan.
Yeah, he's come to steal and to kill and destroy. See, listen. The enemy wants you to adopt that kind of a heart. You could go out and you want more and more because you know never is enough. So you can steal. You can rob your neighbor. And sometimes you can even put a little nice spin on it. You know what I mean? Where I'm not actually a thief. I'm just kind of ripping them off. You know what I mean? Or whatever. But that's straight from the pit. And here's three. If you're stealing, you're not trusting in the Lord to provide. If you're ripping off somebody else, you're not trusting God in it. You are not trusting in the one to provide for you. And that's not going to... Listen, jump down to chapter 5, verse 10. And why don't we each read a verse as we go by here? Is that okay? All right, starting in verse 10. Yes, okay. Chapter 5, yes.
Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This, too, is meaningless.
Isn't that true? They asked, I think, Rockefeller, how much is enough? I think it was him. And he said, just a little bit more. A very rich, rich, rich man.
Did he kill himself?
Yeah, I don't remember now.
I don't think so.
Okay, go ahead. Read verse 11.
Okay. Yeah. As good he keeps himself to consume it.
Good. Goods increase, man, so does the pressure. That's very true. All right, would you do 12 and 13, Mom?
The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of a rich man permits him no sleep. I have seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harms of its owner.
Read verse 14 too in
that. Or wealth lost through some misfortune, so that when he has a son, there is nothing left for him.
Now verse 15, did you read that?
I saw that all who live and walked under the sun followed the king.
Chapter 5, verse 15. Chapter 5, verse 15.
Naked a man comes from his mother's womb, as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he carries.
That's right. You never will see a hearse. You guys used to see this in Chicago. I don't see a lot down here in Florida, but they would block off traffic. You'd see a hearse, and there'd be like a procession of cars, you know, so long. And you never see the hearse carrying a U-Haul full of stuff. You would never see that. You come into this world with nothing, and you're going to leave with nothing, right? You can't take anything with you, right?
Maybe internal things.
The only thing you're going to take is what you've done for the Lord under the S-O-N. But nothing under the S-U-N. Okay? Not only because of time. Okay, so let's jump to chapter 12. And so this is the last chapter in his life as he's looking back. You know, this is what he says, looking back over life. And here's somebody who's been very gifted by the Lord. And what is his wisdom as he's looked back his life, as he's made mistakes? You know, and I would say, young people, learn from the mistakes of others around you.
They're free.
Save your... What?
It's free.
It is free.
You can learn from that, so do it yourself.
You know? Yeah, Elijah.
It might hurt you, but if you don't know, it's good pain to actually learn from your mistakes.
Yes, it may hurt you, but it's good if you learn from it. Absolutely. Giuseppe?
In school, my principal, he does our choir, and he sometimes just talks to us about stuff before we do the music. And he said that he's the youngest of two of his brothers, and he said that he saw them get in trouble, so he knew, I'm not going to do that.
That's right. Yeah, learn from it. Well, here's Solomon. Here's the wisest man, other than Jesus, that ever lived, walked on the whole earth, who denied himself nothing. So if you think he's not cool, or he didn't have this, or he didn't have that, he had everything. And you'll never have that kind of wealth and power. So here it is. Here's what he's saying to you. If you're wise, you'll listen. Here's a man who squandered the gift that God gives him. Caleb, would you mind reading, let's just say, verse 1. We'll see how that goes. Thank you, Kayla. Chapter 12, verse 1. Uno. What? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Yes. Here's what the wisest men... Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. I look at some of you young people and I think, I watch this all the time. In fact, I was just talking about it with a friend of mine today. You know, we had this youth group and I've watched a lot of folks. Here's what will happen, and almost what happens in this church. I don't know why, but he brings people who are at a crossroads. He brings them to this church and he brings them to that youth ministry. And they can go two directions. There's a sign right out here that God gave one of the people in our church a prophetic word, you know, about that sign. That, you know, it shows this. You go right out there, look to the right, it's a stroke, and it goes like this. And that's what God is doing for some reason through this church and through this youth ministry. When I look at the youth, I was talking about this with somebody today, I've watched, there are those who have taken hold of the Lord, who have struggled maybe, but they grew. You know, they overcame it. They learned from their struggle. And they're growing with the Lord. And they're being encouraged in the Lord. And again, not that they haven't messed up. They have, but they're growing. And they've chosen the way. And then I've watched others where they've kind of chosen the other way. Well, I'm not going to follow them. I don't care. They're just judging me. Oh, they're just trying to shove all this stuff down my throat. And they're just trying to. We're always the bad guy. I hate that. But anyway. And these two things, two ways. And then I watch them go off, and I watch their lives crash, crash, crash. One after the other, crash, crash. It is so discouraging. If it weren't for the ones I've seen, yes, you accepted the Lord. Yes, you're growing in the Lord. Yes, you're being strengthened with. And so what he's saying here is, guys, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Right now, let the Lord build into you good things. Don't let it be a production. Or let it be a show for people. Put it in your heart. Does that make sense? Who cares? Listen to me, kids, young people. Who cares, honestly, if everybody likes you and you don't really know the Lord in your heart? You've wasted your life. That's the truth. For you, remember that you're created in the days of your youth so that you can be strengthened when you're older. Because when you get older, everybody's like, once I get out, it's going to be like, I'm going to be on my own. It's going to be so easy. And, oh, yeah, then I can do it. It's not like that. Actually, this might be hard for you to understand, but they actually increase. The problems, the difficulties actually increase. The pressures increase. Stuff you didn't even realize. Remember him now. Yes, Anthony.
What I've heard from a lot of different kids over the years, you know, you try to teach these things, as part of the wisdom, is they're like, well, you know, they don't want to listen now. They go, well, I want to, you know, if I make mistakes, I'm going to learn from my own mistakes. Yes. You know, I think the sense of wisdom that they're lacking, because like, if I'm telling you, I made this mistake, don't do something differently, okay?
Yeah.
And they choose to have the attitude of, well, I'm going to do it anyways and learn my mistakes on my own.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of just putting
yes.
What you're saying aside.
Yes.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's like
they're being foolish.
Yeah, they could have listened to the wisdom that's being given to them, but instead they want to reject it. And even though you gave that you know, piece of advice, they're still going to do things their own way and are willing to learn a mistake on their own anyways. It's like, why make the mistake when we already told you that mistake's going to happen and you take a different path to it?
But not only that, like, this is what happens. And then the Bible calls that becoming wise in your own eyes. You know what I mean? That's just pride. But here's the thing that's sad. I still remember, I'm not going to say who, but the most anointed 12-year-old that I've ever met, that the Lord was opening, doing supernatural things in his life, like I've seen close to it, but never seen. And I remember one time growing, God was using it was amazing. And I remember him struggling, starting to struggle with it going the wrong way. And I remember him saying to me, well, you know, it doesn't seem fair. You got to go that way, you know, and God brought you back. And I was like, I understand that, but I'm telling you, that comes with a lot of pain, a lot of heartache. You could, and a lot of hardening of the heart. And unfortunately, I hate to say that young person went that direction. And honestly, here we are many, many, many years later, and he's never, the person, although if you looked at him in the world's eyes, has a lot. You know, has the looks, has a pup. But you know what? Yet, every once in a while, every few years, he'll come to me just saying how he hates life, how he just wants to die, and he wishes he was dead. And the only time he was ever happy when he was walking with the Lord. And I'll beg him, just turn around. Right, you don't understand, Pastor. Now I'm so deep in this now. I just turn around right now. God is waiting for you. You might not even feel it right that second, you know, but he is waiting for you with open arms.
Amen.
And that's the same way it is for each one of us.
Amen.
Now we close with these last words. You know, Natalie, if you could read verse, let's just each read a verse. Six, starting verse 6, and let's just read through this. And here's his concluding words. We'll just read, yeah, chapter 12, verse 6.
I'm just reading 6.
You just read 6. We each read a verse, okay? And then Rebecca, December's, you know, surely.
Remember him before the silver cord is severed, or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, or the wheel broken at the well.
Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it.
He's appointed once to die and then the judgment, guys. That's what his word says. Yeah, keep going.
Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless.
Now here's the last verses. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Okay, here it is. And I've got a lot of this underlined. Okay? So, you see, I'm going to verse 9.
Not only was the teacher wise, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs.
Yes, good. Sure.
The preacher sought to find acceptable words, and what was written was upright, words of truth.
Uh-oh.
The words of wise men are like goads, and masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. They are given by one shepherd.
Ooh. Verse 12. Sure.
My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh.
Okay, so kids, next time you have to study too much, just tell that to your parents.
Yeah.
But anyway, keep going. Verse 13.
The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments.
Here's the conclusion of the matter. I'm interrupting you, Heidi, but sorry. Here is the conclusion of everything. When he looks back on his life, all his everything that he's done, here is it. You want to know what the wisest person on the planet says? Right here, he says, what, Heidi, say it again.
Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
And that fear God is reverent respect for him. Amen. Not just when people's eyes are upon you, but when his eyes aren't on you. You want to know how you can really tell the condition of your heart before the Lord, at least for me, is what I do when nobody's watching me.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? That's how you can see where you're really at with the Lord. What do you do when mom isn't watching you? What do you do when grandma or grandpa isn't around with their God stuff? What do you do? That's where you can see where you're really at with the Lord. What do you do when your friends, you know what I'm saying, aren't right there? What would you say?
When your wife's not there.
When your wife's not there. Yeah. Or your husband. How do you like that? And then here's the reason why. Because verse 14, what do you?
For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil.
Yes. So here's the deal, guys. Listen to this. And this is just truth. If you're listening, Solomon had a beautiful gift and he squandered it. And as a result, lots of sin came into his family's life, into his people's lives, into his friends' life, into his community's life, into the country's life. You'll see that as we go on in 1 Kings. Okay? Because sin propagates sin. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, have you ever thrown a stone in a pond or a lake? It makes and it's really clear, glassy, it goes bloop, and then you watch. That's what sin does. But it's just the opposite. That's under the S-U-N, but under the S-O-N, every good thing that you do that splashes over on Wendy Jo, that splashes over on Chris, that will splash over on Rebecca, that splashes over on Anthony and Shirley and me, under the S-U-N. That's a purposeful, meaningful life. And I guess I would say to you, as I would say to me, do not squander the gift that God's given you, especially if you're young. Hey! This is an amazing gift you've been given, especially, listen, if you're young. You've been given, I didn't get saved until I was 30. I went to church, but I wasn't saved. I didn't get saved until I was almost 30 years old, 20-some-8 years old, I don't even remember. But you've been given it now. God can use you in mighty ways, Action Jackson. Don't you doubt it. God can use us too. Don't get us old. You know what I'm saying? But remember your Creator now. And wherever you're at, whether you're 6 or 60 or 600, whatever your age, don't squander the gift that He's given you. He's given you more years to live so that you can reflect His glory to others around you. Don't dull the mirror. Polish it up with His word. Shine like a city on a hill that reflects His image, right? That's what God wants you to do. Don't squander the gift God's given you. Don't let anyone or anything put a bushel and damper that light. Don't let what people have done to you darken your heart. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Don't let the enemy work in your mind to dim that light. You turn it up all the more. As the pressure increases, Lord, let me shine all the more because of that great gift that He's given to you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Any closing thoughts before we get out of here? Yes.
Kind of cliche, but you know, tomorrow's not guaranteed, so you know, the opportunity presents itself now. We need to grab hold of that now and not keep waiting. We can't guarantee tomorrow's going to be there.
That's right. Yes?
I just want to say your whole time tonight is like, it hit me hard. I needed to hear what you said. It put everything in perspective for me. And I just got good knowledge. I just got good knowledge.
praise the Lord. Well, that was the Lord's message, because none of that, nothing was planned, not even one word. It was just, that was all the Lord given right before we got here. So God had a word for you today, and I think he wants you to know that. So if he's impressing something on your heart, listen, and then apply the wisdom, right? That he's given you. Good. Anything else before we close out prayer? Yes?
Don't do what Yogi Berra told us to do. When you come to the fork in the road, take it.
That's what he said. Hilarious, too. When you come to the fork in the road,
that's what Yogi
Berra said. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was like, wait,
what did you say? It didn't make sense.
Okay. Yes.
I was just going to say, Tom and I put together a couple of Christmas carols if anybody's interested, but if you have to go, it's fine.
Yeah, I thank you for doing that. Sure. But I think we're just going to.
Okay.
Yeah, if that's okay. Thank you very much.
That's okay.
Thank you. Uncle Tom, yes.
About next week.
We're not okay, so this is the fifth Thursday. So
no,
if
you
have anything,
next week is the fourth, and we have the jingle run.
Okay, yes.
Jingle bell run.
Oh, the jingle bell run. Yes, sorry. Okay, so next week, we're having the jingle bell run. Those of you who don't know, we're doing it. It's a 5K run walk. So if anybody's interested in that, see me or Uncle Tom, as we're going to be running in that race. But we won't be meeting here that Thursday. Okay. So next Thursday, here.
We will be meeting here, or
will
we won't
not.
Be meeting
here? We will not. You may be here. No, we will not be meeting here next Thursday.
Where will we be meeting?
You will be with me.
If you're in the Jingle Bell Run, we'll be meeting at Lakewood Ranch. If not, then you'll be meeting at your prospective homes. Or they can all come over to your house. Either one is fine with me.
What's for dinner, Gloria?
Hey, bring it. My cart.
Bring it. Okay, good. Anything else? Anybody else want to share before we?
The Jingle Bell Run is at what time next week?
7 o'clock. We start the run walk.
Okay.
Okay.
And for some others, a crawl.
Is that morning or night?
That's actually what's really cool. It's at night. They give you jingle bells, so everybody's like hearing this massive jingle, 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 and they give you these blinkers. And they have everything marked off the entire, they block off the whole downtown for food and stuff like that afterwards. They have the roads all marked off with cones and police officers. And it's like $35 a person. But it's if you guys need to go alone or whatever, if anybody wants to come with us, just let us know. And we'd love to run with you. And some people will run fast like Elijah, and some people will run slow like me.
Or crawl.
All right, well, let's pray, and let's ask God's blessing. Lord, we need you right now, Lord. We thank you for your gift, Lord. We know that you had a message today, God, and I don't know exactly what you want done, Lord, but I ask that your word, Lord, you are bringing into life. It's your message. It's your life, and you're speaking truth into our lives. I pray that we would receive it, Lord God, whether we're young or medium or old or whatever it is, Lord God, that you would be speaking to us and we would be responding to what you're saying to us, Lord God. We wouldn't close up our ears and go our own way. We would do exactly what you would have us to do, Lord God. And so we're asking in Jesus' name to plant those seeds deep within us, Lord, that you would water them and help them to grow, Lord, and that we would not forget our Creator. We remember him, especially in the days of our youth, Lord God. Be with those today, Lord. I'm thinking of like folks like the Zomers and folks like the Justine and Honey and Jewel going on their trip, Lord. And you know each person, Lord, the struggles, the heartaches that are going on in lives, Lord. We ask that you would meet each one of us there, Lord God, and help us to shine, Lord God, and reflect your image to a hurting world. And as the pressure increases, that we're asking you for more strength, for more power, Lord God, for more obedience, Lord God. That you would shine all the more brightly in our lives, Lord. We love you. Give us love and truth, Lord God. We love you, bless you, and thank you in the mighty, awesome, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you Sunday.